we begin. If you are planning to help out tonight, if you are planning to bring something and you haven't signed up on that sheet out there, the sign-up sheets in the foyer on that kiosk, I'd ask you to please do that this morning. I know some of you are planning to bring something but didn't put your name down. That's wonderful, but the only problem is I don't know how much food else we need to go and pick up today unless I know exactly what's coming. So if you don't mind just putting your name down on what you're going to do and what you're going to bring for the area-wide, the youth gathering tonight. Also, if you haven't planned on being here tonight, plan on it. I promise you it's one of the wonderful, most wonderful things, services that we'll have during the year. The singing is absolutely beautiful. I know that we don't go to be entertained, but I promise you it's an encouragement to be in a room filled with young people singing songs because they love singing them. So be here tonight. Plan on staying. There's going to be plenty of food. If you are even thinking about inviting someone to be here, invite them tonight. Okay? It'll be a great opportunity to share, especially if they have young people, to come and be a part of the service tonight, as we're going to focus on our young people and feed all of them and feed everybody afterwards. So tonight, sign up, and I appreciate that. We've been talking about some of the parables the last several weeks of Christ, the things that he's been teaching. And most of them have been about the kingdom of God. And there are a lot of things that we question. There's a lot of things that we don't really understand fully in our life when we talk about the kingdom. The people in Jesus' time did not understand the kingdom as well. And he began teaching them over and over and over with every different idea that he could come up with. Numerous things he was talking about the kingdom of God. And as we read, as Cody read for us actually a few moments ago, in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, he's talking about what people label the Lord's Prayer. It really wasn't the Lord's Prayer. He wasn't praying that. He was teaching his disciples how to pray. Some of the aspects of prayer. How do we approach God? And what do we pray for? And how do we pray? And so he's still talking in this whole context, in these chapters, he's talking about the kingdom of God and how God rules in our life. And there are decisions being made. Jesus knows that things aren't easy. And he knows that when you begin and you decide that you want to be a part of a kingdom, that there are some decisions that you're going to have to make. How do you make those decisions? How do you make big decisions in your life? How are you successful in the things that you want to do with your life? If you don't know all the requirements, let's say, maybe you're not very successful. And so when we want to have a job or a career, we do want. We a lot of times are going to get trained. We're going to go to college and get a degree. We're going to seek out training. And when we go get our degree, we'll go to a job. And the learning doesn't end, right? It's only beginning. Now it gets very practical in nature. And you begin asking questions. And so Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom. Now, it's going to keep on going through all the apostles and through all those teachings and all the way down to us today. And so we begin learning more and more each day about the kingdom of God in our house. So we're going to start down a little bit further into chapter 11 of Luke this morning. Look down at verse 14. And he says, and he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Now, think about that word. Have you ever seen anything that amazed you? I've seen some things that have amazed me. People, magicians, amaze you. When they do some kind of trick, and you go, how do they do that? I don't understand how you make an airplane disappear. And one has done that. And I watched, I think that's pretty amazing. I know he didn't really make it disappear, but it's really cool. It's amazing what he did. But yet it says the crowds were amazed that Jesus was able to do something. And you think about Mark chapter 5, when they're in the boat and they go across the lake and they land at the tombs, and there is that man filled with demons, and he's running back and forth through the tombs, and he's screaming out, and they've tried to bind him, and they've tried to chain him, and they've tried to do all those things, and they couldn't do it, and he's cut, and he's beat up, and all these things, and no one can control him, and he comes screaming through there, and he comes down. What does he do? Immediately, he bows down before the Lord. And Jesus casts those demons out of him, and they say, at least let us go into that herd of swine, and he allows that to happen. And it says that the shepherds there were amazed. And the people in the town came out and they were amazed. And yet they still said, leave us, go away from us. We don't want anything to do with you. And his disciples were amazed because they watched someone who couldn't be bound by chains literally get down on his hands and knees before Jesus and completely submit his will to him. They were amazed. People have been amazed at Christ's teachings forever. But amazed is not enough. You see, you can be amazed at something and still question what's going on. You can argue and say, I don't want to believe. I don't want to be a part of that. But you know that at one thing that Jesus did, every time that he was doing something to amaze them, he had one thought in mind, and that's it. John writes that in John chapter 20, in verse 30 and 31. John writes that many other things did Jesus do. Many other miraculous signs, what he's saying. Many other signs did Jesus do that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in believing, you might have life in his name. So everything Jesus did, every miraculous sign that he performed, he did it for one reason. So that the people would know he had authority and they would believe the message that he was talking to them about the kingdom of God. And so all of these things that were amazing were to do one thing, that was to believe in Christ. Now look at how they respond. The crowds were amazed, verse 15, but some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And others, to test him, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. So some of them were saying, yeah, we don't want to believe you. We don't like you. We're not going to listen to you. And we know that the only way that you're casting out those demons is by the power of Beelzebul, the biggest of all the demons. And then those others that are listening are saying, well, give us some more. We really liked that one. But we want to hear some more. We want to see you do something else. So give us a sign from heaven. And they're saying, "Let give us something that we can believe in." Well, you just saw that. Why aren't you believing? I gave it to you to believe. But you see, Jesus is doing it not for those. He's going to answer their questions. He's going to leave, no doubt. But it's not for those who are questioning his authority. It's not for those who are doing that. It's for the others that are in the crowds listening with the ears that they have to hear. Do you remember that last week? We were talking to Matthew. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And so the message that he was going, he's warning those people who have the ears to hear that are listening and want to know the truth. He's trying to help them understand the truth. Verse 17, he says, but he knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I by Beelzebul cast out demons, listen closely, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. He says, now, You say that the power I have to cast out these demons, they're not denying. Notice this, they're not denying the miraculous event that just occurred. They're not denying that this demon-possessed man had the demons taken out of him and sent away. They're not denying that. What they're denying is the power that God gave to him to do that. And so they don't want to listen because he's already challenged their thoughts, who they are, their history, the things that they believe in. Jesus is challenging all of those things. And so he says, any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. You know that. We know that, right? And we only have to look in the physical kingdoms of this world. And anytime you get a kingdom that begins being divided and it's separating and it's fighting against each other and a civil war comes, that kingdom is going to what? Collapse, implode upon itself. Now maybe another one will arise in its place. Maybe not. But that kingdom will no longer be. It won't look like it's always looked. So he says, a kingdom divided cannot. It's going to just lie in waste and ruin. There will be nothing there. It will fail every single time. So, if the kingdom is against itself, and you know that can't happen, then how is it that your sons are casting out demons? And he's talking about his disciples, right? Because they're the sons of these cities and these towns that he's been going and teaching at. The 12, the 70, however many others, we don't know exactly. But he has sent them out with power of the Holy Spirit through God to go out and cast out demons and teach about the kingdom of God. And so they're doing those things. And he says, so how are your sons doing these things? But, he says in verse 20, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom is here. The kingdom of God has always been. Now, it doesn't look exactly as we're going to see it when the church is established on the day of Pentecost. But we know that the kingdom has always been because God's rule has always been. God has always ruled in this world. And so he's making a very point, a very deep thought and point to them when he says, your sons are doing the same thing that I did by the same power I did them. And that power doesn't come from Satan. It came from God. And there is a difference between the kingdom of Satan and of this world and the kingdom of God. And they are a complete contrast one to the other. You have to understand these kingdoms will never be together. They will never be one. You are going to have to decide which kingdom you're going to be in. And it's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing to make a choice in your life whether you're going to leave that old kingdom you've been a part of, that you've known, that you've lived. Every morning you wake up, you're in it, so you know it, you understand it, you experience it. And then God is going to rule. You're going to have to make some hard choices. Verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. You know, in Jesus' teaching, sometimes there's so much, it seems like there's so many independent thoughts going on that you try to put them together and you go, I just really can't make sense of all of this. You ever feel that way? Well, sometimes Jesus is teaching and he's challenging everyone's thinking and they're trying to, in their mind, they're trying to figure out, now how am I going to argue against what he just said? And just about the time they get their thought processes together, he throws something else, a curveball to them. They're like, what does that have to do? And so he just keeps on talking about this kingdom. He said, now look at this. If someone knew someone was going to break into your house, what would you do? You'd protect it. And so if you're standing there guarding your house, you're everything that you own, all of your kingdom is going to be intact, right? No one's going to come in and destroy it. Unless, however, someone stronger than you comes in and takes over. This kingdom that you're going to be a part of is a kingdom of God. And there are a lot of times people look at the kingdom of this world and they don't realize maybe that that's Satan's kingdom, and Satan has all those things in place to protect his world, but all of a sudden God comes along again and says, no, you're not the strong man here. I am. This is my kingdom. What kind of kingdom do you want to be a part of? What kingdom do you want to live in? What kingdom do you want to rule in your life? You see, there are big choices to be made, and you're going to have to make them. The kingdom of God, the rule of God in your life has to be made. And the people are still struggling, and he knows they're going to struggle, and he knows we're going to struggle. He knows that we've bought into things in this world. And you look at the physical things of this world and kingdoms in this world, just our own country. And people want to move here. Now, I'm not trying to start a political argument, so don't think that I am, okay? People want to move here and bring a flag from another country and put it in their yard. And they want to say, I am whatever that flag represents, American. How does that work? How do you come from a country somewhere else and move into this country, a different kingdom, and say, I want to bring about a new kingdom, or I want to have my old kingdom and I want to mix it with this new kingdom, and I want you to embrace all the things that I love from this kingdom? And you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not the same kingdom. We don't have the same rules and laws and regulations. We don't do the same things. We don't believe the same ways. Yeah. I know, but I like these things, so I'm going to keep those things, but I want to live here, and I want to have all the blessings that you want to give me and privileges, but I don't want to give up anything that I really like over here, so I want to do this. And you say, no, you can't do that. This is not that kingdom. It's different. Well, you're just not a nice person. I don't believe that way. I want to have my own kingdom. I want to be who I want to be. And you start seeing the fallacy of thinking. It's all, if everybody believed that way, what would that kingdom look like? It would be divided against itself, and there would be no kingdom. It'd be chaos. Christ is talking about something far deeper than physical kingdoms. He's talking about the kingdom of God. How do we, what kingdom are we a part of? What kingdom do we belong to? What king are we seeking protection from? What are we going to be about? Now look what he says in verse 23. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. And literally what he says is, if you're not a part of my kingdom, you're against me. You are at war with me. You can't have the old and the new. You can't have your desires of what you've fallen in love with or like or what you're used to and the new kingdom. You can't bring them in. You have to make a decision. Are you with me or are you not with me? The kingdom is really an important thing. What decision are you going to make? And so he's building this case, and now then a couple of verses, and here's the parable. Look with me at verse 24 through 26. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And the state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now, start thinking about what he's saying. He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about all these decisions. And he says, there's a man, and this demon, if you will, this ruler of this kingdom is passed out of him. And everything is set in order. But that spirit, as it's going to find a home, doesn't find rest, and it comes back and it says, I'm going to go back to my home where I have been, and I'm going to take up residence there again. But not only by myself, this time I'm going to take seven more, even worse than I am, back with me. Now, what is he talking about? He said, here's our decision as mankind. If the kingdom is ours and we give up, and that demon is cast out of us, I'm not talking about a miraculous thing that the Lord was doing there, but we decide, I don't want to be a part of this kingdom that Satan rules in. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. And I've cast it out. And I've said, I want to die to that old self. I want to get rid of that old self. And I become a child of God. I'm immersed into Christ. And Christ, God raises me up to a new life. And I'm in this kingdom. And everything in my life is in order again. My life is right with God. And everything is good. And I can smile and I sit back. And then I go, isn't this good? All of those bad things, you know, I sit down and I study with my neighbor that's part of this church. And they've told us, you know what? When you become a Christian, all that ugliness is gone. All of those bad decisions that you made in your life are washed away. There's none of that there anymore. You don't have to worry about those things. God has completely and totally forgiven you of everything. How does that make you feel? That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Everything's gone. Everything's wiped out. And I have a completely, perfectly clean slate. I'm good to go. But I just sit there with everything in order. And there is a big emptiness because all those decisions I've made in my life to make me who I am, I've gotten rid of that. And so there's a whole lot of emptiness in me, and I choose not to fill that emptiness with anything good, this new kingdom. What happens? That old life begins creeping back in. And it's not only just the old life, but there's more and more, and more stuff comes in. And how many times in your life have you witnessed it? That someone says, I want to become a Christian, and they're told the truth, what has to happen in your life. When you give your life to Christ, He becomes the Lord of your life, and you've got to give all of those other things up. You go, okay, I can do that. I know that life is not a good life, and yet they don't really leave it. And they allow those friendships that have influenced them for so long to slowly creep back in. And we allow those things to happen, and they continue to happen, and then we start wondering, where? How did I get here? When you think about the things in this world, people who are addicts, drug addicts, whatever addicts, but it's averaged 3 times that people will fall back into those addictions before they ever get out of them. You hear what I'm saying? Someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs or any of those things, and they want out. They have chosen for themselves to get out of it. It usually takes, on average, 3 times before they finally get out of it. It's hard. As a Christian, when we become a child of God, and we don't get rid of all of those things out of our life, those friends that are too willing to share with us the bad choices that we've made in our life, maybe even family members that encourage that kind of living, how hard is it to fall back into that life? See what Christ is talking about in this little bitty few verses is we've got to learn to fill our life with the positive things of the kingdom of God. We can't just sit back and say, everything is good. I'm not going to do this anymore. I've got to fill my life. And too many times in our life, we don't find time to fill our life with good things. We think it's simply good enough to get rid of the old things out of our life. And he says, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn that getting rid of things is not enough. Because Satan is going to be there every single moment, doing everything that he can to refill your life with not only the things that you overcame, but things that you haven't yet even seen. And he's going to encourage you to continue filling your life with all of those things that's going to change you. And it's going to be far worse than it was the first time. Because not only is your life going to be more chaotic, you're going to have lost the most important thing you've ever gained. Kingdom of God. Who's ruling in our life? Who's ruling in your life? With what are you going to fill your life? With what are you going to fill your life? Now look at the end, last couple of verses, and we'll close with this. There was a lady in the crowd who raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. And you can almost hear it saying, man, what a wonderful man you are. And we love listening to you. And we love seeing all the things that you're about. And your mother must have been a great mom. And she must have loved you and taken care of you and encouraged you and all of those things. And Jesus says, no. On the contrary, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Blessed are those, he says, who you just didn't even pay attention to anything that I just said. Blessed are those, not who have a good mom, you'll be blessed in other places, we know that. But he said, blessed are those who choose to fill their life with God and his word. How will we be blessed in this life? Get rid of that old. Immerse ourselves in this culture that is the kingdom of God. And we learn every single day, what does it mean to be a child of God? And what does God require of me? And what is God going to do to bless me today? God, I'm looking forward for your blessings today. How are you going to bless me? Do you think he's not going to do it? Why do we ask for prayers? Why do you ask? And how many of you have, you can raise your hand if you want, how many of you have people in your life that you know you can call and say, Ed, will you pray for me? I got this going on in my life. Will you pray for me? Have I asked you to pray for me before? You pray for me? I know you do. There are other people in this congregation that I know pray. And I know that you pray for me, and you pray for my family, and you pray for those things. And when you ask me, I pray for you. What is that kind of blessing is that? You get that in this world? Do you get that kind of assurance and hope from this world? No. What happens is, those people, even who think that they've committed their life, that they haven't filled their life, someone says, hey, this is going on in my life, and they'll say, I'm praying for you. How many times do they actually pray for you? How many times when someone asks you to pray for them, do you honestly and truthfully actually go into your closet or a place by alone or with someone else and pray for that person specifically about what they asked you to pray for? We've got to fill our life with the kingdom. God rules in this kingdom. God answers prayers of those who are part of his kingdom. Those who love him and are seeking to know him, God answers those prayers. Do we not want to be one of those people who God listens to and hears, a part of his kingdom, that he's blessing me and he blesses those around me, not because I'm anything special, but because of him in me, his ruling in my life? And then you start looking at how many ways does God bless his people in his kingdom? You want to have a good marriage? Be a part of his kingdom. You want to have good friendships, be a part of it. You want to have a good job. You want to grow. You look at yourself and say, am I growing? Has God blessed me? Am I any better than I was a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago? What do I know? How many questions have I answered? I've had these questions all my life and I've never had an answer. Am I seeking to know those? Has God blessed me? He will. If we're in His kingdom, if we're filling ourselves, and that's the whole point that Christ is making with all of those that are standing around and listening to Him, is this: your life cannot be left empty. A house is not built to be left empty. Someone's going to live there. Our life, my life, your life, is not made to be empty. Is the Lord dwelling there? Or is Satan's kingdom still ruling in your life? The scary thing is, so many times we think of Satan ruling in our life as something really, really, it's going to look horrible, right? I've had to go and take a young lady out of photographs. 16 or 17 years old. Ran away from home. All the promises, all the stuff from all of her friends, and she ends up there in this house that is disgusting, it is nasty, it's ugly. And sometimes we think that if we're not faithful, that's what our life is going to look like spiritually. That's not really it. Satan gives us what we want to see. Our life may not look like that at all. Our life may look ordered. It may look good. But there's all these little nagging things around us that are going on because God is not in control. I just challenge you with that this morning. What ways is your life being blessed right now? Forget about the ugly things. I just want to ask you, let's think on something positive. What is God doing in your life right now? How do you feel God's love in your life? How do you feel, where have you found meaning in your life? Trace it back and see if it's not God there doing. And if it's not, why are you being blessed? God promises you. What are you doing in your life? You'll never be a part of the kingdom of God if you're not filling your life with His kingdom. That's what Christ is wanting us to make that choice. He made that choice today. And you've already made that. Maybe He said, I want to be in your kingdom. I want you to rule in my life. And we make that choice once upon a time, but we allow, like that house, like that man, He said, it's all swept and clean, and on all of a sudden, all those ugly things, all those things that I gave up are back in my life. I'm struggling with all those things again. But the only way to keep it out is by putting something else in. What are you putting in your life? That's the choice of being part of the kingdom. Is He doing in your life? Yet, He's not. Why not? You will never be blessed unless you're in the kingdom and letting Him rule. That's what we're seeking to do. Faithful and blessed. Who's ruling? Who do you feel is your ruler? Are you part of His kingdom? If not, you can't do so. If you haven't, there's no better time than right now. If you've given that up, there's no better time to get back to become a part of that kingdom again, to be maybe a bigger part than that kingdom. That's your choice. If you need to respond to Him, we pray for you. If you do anything like that, if you want us to do it, we would love to do that because that's part of His kingdom. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we ask you to come right now.